We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday. It's March 6th. It's my birthday week. My birthday is this weekend. So birthday week. So we got all the good mojo flying. Got my buddy Chief Justice 06, Will Priester, with me on the podcast today. Shout out to Looch for filling in for me on Friday's podcast. And ready to be back and to talk about this 6-game NBA slate. Chief, what's happening, my friend?
I'm good, brother. Listen, I'm so excited about DFS and where it's heading because MLB will be here soon. And I can't express how excited I am for this MLB season. And I love NBA DFS too, but man, look. MLB's got me. I mean, I'm ready to rock out with my socks out here. It's going to be fun, but we're not there yet. We got a 6-gamer. We're excited. Can't wait to break this slate down.
Fun slate. 6 games. Listen, after a long weekend, I am very happy that it's only 6 games. I slept, I think, 2 hours last night between NASCAR and getting up and playing a disc golf tournament this morning. So I'm very excited at 6 games. What a weekend. Like, really quick, what a weekend in NASCAR. Like, if you're not a NASCAR subscriber, you should be. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I am tooting my own horn. Like, it was just, Will, is one of the weekends, and it happens a few times a year, but it's one of the weekends where I was just on it. And we had a fantastic week over NASCAR. Played terrible my first round of the disc golf tournament this morning. I shot 9 over. Bounced back and finished 5th with a 4-under round, the second round. So I had a nice little Sunday. Won a little raffle. Like, it's just a good day. Just a good day, man. Just a good day. So How are you doing? I know, like you just said, you're excited for baseball. Everyone knows. Everyone knows that I'm one of the biggest baseball fans at RG. I love baseball season. So, yes, I'm pumped for baseball season to be here. But, yeah, man, I'm really, like, I just want to say thank you to everyone listening. I love getting on the mic, talking about these slates, and getting the messages when I don't do the podcast, making sure that I'm okay. I'm okay, people. But yeah, man, just spread some love here on this Monday morning, Sunday night, if you're hanging out with us on YouTube.
Absolutely.
All right, six games, couple back-to-backs. We get started with one of them right here off the bat. We got Boston at Cleveland. There was no total for this game. I'm going to look really quick again and see. Does it look like there's a total still? All right, so now there's a couple books that have it at 219.5. Cavs minus 2.5. So we'll go with that. Really quick before we get into this, Dave, Brent, Yeezy, Richie, Craig, thanks for hanging out. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind YouTube page and jump in these live streams with us night before breakdown. So, Will, Boston, second end of a back-to-back. And then on the Cleveland side, Mitchell is questionable, which is definitely notable. What are your thoughts here on the Boston side?
Man, look, it probably should be a pretty good game. I think the last time we saw these guys play, I feel like Cleveland or Boston, it was a blowout one way, and I think they've had two really competitive
games. The first game they played this season was like really, really close, and the second game, or in like low scoring in this recent game, I think was like 230 it finished at,
yeah, and it was a close game. And Donovan Mitchell had 44. That's what I think I was really thinking of. Donovan Mitchell kind of lighting it up on fire here. But from Boston, man, so Tatum's down to 10-6 here. It's a small slate. And this is a guy, Stevie, that can go out and get 60. They're pretty close to being healthy. We do have a couple other games that I know are going to really push the pace here. But I don't ever mind taking the star of the team and kind of playing him. I like Tatum in this spot. I think he could really, you know, put up a nice performance here. And it's not just because of the last time, but it's going to be a competitive matchup. So I think he's, you know, he's going to have a shot. Rob will be in out. Should definitely should help his rebounding some, which he's been rebounding pretty well this season anyway. But, you know, we saw him pick up 13 rebounds against Brooklyn, 11 against Cleveland. Like, these are the rebound numbers I think we want to see. If he can pick up 10 rebounds, 30-ish points, like, we're almost there. So one of my favorite plays in this game, Jason Tatum, Mr. Brown down to 8,800. I don't mind him either. Definitely favor Tatum over him. And it's smart at 57. Guy that's going to play 30-plus minutes under 6K. I don't mind him as well.
So really quick, right? My concern here is on the second end of a back-to-back in OT currently right now against the Knicks, the Celtics side. We already know that Williams is not going to play. Robert Williams is not going to play. Horford's at 39 minutes.
I don't think he's playing.
Right.
I don't see him.
Yeah. 39 minutes. So do we think like Mike Muscala draws a start and plays like 35 minutes in this game?
They've played Blake too, though.
You're right. And he's not playing Sunday night. So do we think maybe it's Blake? I mean, it's a six-game slate, so I think these conversations are worth having. If we think Blake's going to play 25-plus minutes at minimum salary, I think he's definitely in play. I like the Tatum call. You know, he's someone that has triple-double upside on any given slate, even in a tough matchup here. He's someone that I definitely think you could take some shots on.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But yeah, I don't see Horford playing, and I'm honestly, like, with this game still going and in overtime, I'm really shocked we even have some lines out for this game. So Cleveland side, and Mitchell's questionable. Man, this could be one of those you roll the dice kind of like games for betting night before. But going to the Cleveland side of this game, obviously we want to see what happens with Mitchell. If Mitchell is out, ton of interest in Garland. He becomes one of my favorite plays on the entire slate if Mitchell ends up sitting. Also, I could see Allen having a really good game here. Like Boston, if Horford sits with Williams already out, who's going to really match up with Allen? So I could see Jared Allen having a solid game here. 7K, fair price tag. I think his upside is probably like 40 to 45, maybe with like a 50 plus point ceiling. But I think on a 6-game slate, we should be looking at Allen, regardless if Mitchell plays or not. But Garland in a fantastic spot here if Mitchell ends up sitting.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess the, let's call it the default guy, if you will, probably going to be Ricky Rubio at 3,500. Like, you very well may have 2-3K guys in the same game. If Horford is out, which Stevie, I'm honestly going to operate the fact that he's out. Then I think you have Blake and Cornette.
Yeah.
And you just kind of pick one or the other, like if you're on a single entry or if you're mass multi-entry, 20-entry max, 3-entry max, I just play one and the other, something like that. But if Mitchell is out, I think Rubio's in play. And not only Rubio, I think we'll have access to Caris LeVert as well. Like, we could very well have cheap pieces in this game right out of the gate. So I honestly think this game is something to really keep your eye on. I think we'll have the Horford news. We might have the Horford news at the end of this game, like,
yeah,
you know, some weird way. But the Cleveland news, I don't think we'll get that right on time. But if we happen to get it early in the day, that's really going to open this slate up. I'm with you on Garland. I'm also with you on Allen. And I still think LeVert and Rubio at those cellar dweller prices, I think they're going to be in play even against Boston.
All right, we got Philadelphia at Indiana on the second end of a back-to-back.
Yep.
231.5 total on FanDuel, only book that has a total out right now. 76ers, a 7-point favorite in this one. PJ Tucker is questionable. Tobias Harris is questionable. That's really it on the Philadelphia side. On the Indiana side, Nesmith sat Sunday, so he's someone to worth monitoring if he's going to play or not in this one. So let's go Philadelphia first. I mean, it's a 6-game slate. We have Jokic, we have Lillard, we have Embiid, we have Tatum. They're the elite stars on this slate. So on a 6-game slate, I mean, the person out of those guys or anybody really who scores the most fantasy points, raw points matter on a 6-game slate. So Will, yeah, talk to me here about Embiid. Harden's 10-1. I think that with Embiid healthy, that's a tough price tag for me on a slate like this, even though the matchup's not terrible. But Embiid, not only is he just a stud, this is just one of the best matchups too. This team really struggles in interior defense. So talk to me about Philadelphia here.
Yeah, definitely in on Embiid at 11-3. You know, this is a guy that, in terms of scoring in this game, Stevie, like, you'd expect them to probably get the part. If the game is reasonably close, I think Embiid might get to somewhat his scoring ceiling. And what I mean is not fantasy points. I'm talking about actual points. Like, we might see him go for 40 or so in this spot. So I really like Embiid. I think this is a spot for him to really stat pad for the MVP race, if you will. Especially if Tobias Harris is out, like, I think that'll open it up for him even more because, you know, PJ Tucker is not going to take a lot of shots. It'll be the Harden, Maxey, and Embiid show. And so, you know, Maxey's 5,500, Stevie. Like, he might be the dark horse candidate for fantasy points in this one if Tobias Harris is out, because they'll really need his production on the offensive end. So, I think he's a sneaky play here on this slate at 5,500 on DK, where, you know, if we get this other value in other spots and, you know, we've got an up-tempo game to close out the night, he could possibly still go overlooked even on this slate. So I like him a ton. I think him and Embiid would be my top targets. I like Harden. Don't love Harden. But, I mean, Harden's been a monster here recently, Stephen. We saw him in the Milwaukee game, 38, 10, and 9. Game before that against Dallas, 27, 13, and 4. 20, 12, and 6 against Miami. I think Embiid sat that game. Or the game, yeah. He sat one of those games. I think it was the one before. But either way, I like Harden, don't love Harden. But if you told me that today, hey, I want to play Harden against Indiana, I'm not going to talk you out of it.
Yeah. Ooh, excuse me. I wouldn't talk you out of it. I'm just saying I think there's better plays today. So not necessarily talking you out of it. It's more of just saying, am I really paying 10-1 for Harden or 10-6 for Tatum?
Right.
Or even Sabonis at like 10K. Like Harden has a higher ceiling, but Sabonis is just, I mean, better matchup and definitely the similar type of ceiling. So I like Embiid a lot. I think a lot of the decisions today are going to be Lillard against Detroit, Embiid, or Jokic. But I like the matchup a lot for Embiid today.
Yeah.
Indiana side, if I am playing Embiid, Halliburton is someone at 9,200 that has the same type of ceiling as some of these guys up in this top tier. He is top tier, but I'm talking elite tier, I guess, not just top tier. Talk to me here about the Pacers.
So I like Halliburton. They're on a back-to-back. Will they sit him this game? Like, I don't feel like they're trying to push him too hard at the end of the season. I definitely know Indiana doesn't want to win a bunch of games. I don't think they want to. And I think Halliburton can get off against anyone. I mean, we saw the man get off against Boston, Stevie. Like, it's not like he won't on a back-to-back. I'm not sure. He's been over 50 in 3 of the last 5 games. At 9,200, I think on a small slate, Stevie, you have to take a shot. I think you do. They're at home. Turner's, for the most part, I think he's going to play, not looking like he's going to sit out this game at all. I think Halliburton is the play here. And that's the easy play, but he's 9,200. He puts up another 50-plus bomb. Like, you're in great shape at that price.
Yeah, obviously, don't think I want to take Turner in this spot. Don't really necessarily love him. I could see taking some shots on Buddy Hield in tournaments, 5,900. He is someone like if he was able to get hot in this game, could have a big game. He's averaging 44 fantasy points in 2 meetings this season against Philadelphia. So I have to look into that more. Just saying that, like, that's a thing. He's just someone that can put up 30 actual points. And if he can get, grab some assists and rebounds, and he's someone that can get some steals as well. So if he could get some secondary points, he's obviously someone that has some upside shooting the ball wise. The bonus here too is it's the second end of a back-to-back, so might be a little bit more sloppier play. All right. Cruising right along. Portland at Detroit. 232 total in this game. Portland a 5.5-point favorite. Portland is on the second end of a back-to-back. A lot of injuries. We'll talk about this in just a second. On the Detroit side, Bogdanovich is out. Cunningham is out. Duren is out. Hayes is questionable. Magruder is questionable. Stewart is out. Wiseman is questionable. On the Portland side, like I said, they're on the second end of a back-to-back. Simon sat Sunday's game after returning the other day. Was it the second end of a back-to-back, or they just didn't want him to play? Nurkic sat Sunday. I know he's getting closer. So we'll have to kind of pay attention to those two because they matter, especially on a 6-game slate. But what are your thoughts here on Portland?
Dame Lillard, and I don't want to say Dame or bust. We got a little bit of wait for it, Jeremy Grant revenge, if you're into that sort of thing. But this is mainly Dame's team, man. Like I said, on a small slate, I don't mind Jeremy Grant. Cam Reddish just hasn't done it for me, Stevie. Like, he had a good game against Atlanta, but overall, he just hasn't done it for me. Maybe you squeeze him in on this late if Simon sits again. You know, they play in Detroit, a game they should win easily. But it's kind of just Damon Grant for me.
I like Lillard a lot more if Simon sits again.
Correct. I agree 100%. Yep.
I can see Grant having a really solid game here. I like the price tag. This team's not good defensively against really anybody. I mean, they're just a bad overall defense. Third worst in the NBA in defensive rating this season. And the good thing, like, they still play 12th quickest in the NBA. So this is a pace-up spot for Portland being in Detroit, second end of a back-to-back. Maybe the game stays a little sloppier and we get a closer game. So I like Grant in this spot. I also like his first half props. So if you play on like a fantasy pick and play site, like Prize Picks or Sleeper or anything like that, and you want first half props, I like Grant's first half props. Points, rebounds, mostly. If Simons and Nurkic sit, I don't mind maybe taking some shots on like a Cam Reddish or I don't know if I get to Eubanks on this slate. His minutes have kind of been all over the place. On the Detroit side, I mean, I think, like, obviously we're going to be watching the news on Wiseman, but if he were to sit, Bagley's 5,500. And I know it's not the greatest matchup in the world, but this is a guy now, looking at his last four games, has put up at least 38 fantasy points in three of those four games. And for some reason, he's still 5,500. So, ton of interest here in Bagley, whether Wiseman's out or not. But if Wiseman sits, man, like, Bagley just going to smash in this game. Again, like him either way, but if Wiseman sits, Bagley plays 35 minutes and just crushes. So ton of interest in him. But outside of Bagley, I think Detroit is, even on a smaller slate, a tough team to kind of figure out. The minutes are kind of spread out just in general. If we did get news that, like, Hayes was going to miss the game, I think Alec Burks at 4,100 and then Jaden Ivey at 5,900 are playable. And it's not like Portland's like this juggernaut defensive team. They're bottom 10. I think they're like seventh worst. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at on Detroit?
Yeah, I think if Wiseman sit and Hayes sit, then I think Detroit becomes actually pretty playable. Like, Bagley at 5,500, I think he would be big time in play. You mentioned Alec Burks. I think he'd be in play. I think Diallo would be in play. Ivy would be in play. Now, what I would probably do, Stevie, is I would probably put them all in a group, and I'd say maybe don't play more than two of them, or maybe two or three at the most. But, you know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think Bagley would probably be the top play if everybody sits. Like, if Wiseman is out, I got to think just in general projections are going to come out with him around 30-ish fantasy points, 30-plus. And his ownership's probably going to go through the roof, but it will be warranted. Like, he'll have the full, rotation, I think, for the big man that they have. which is really going to make him a good play. And then, like we said, if Hayes is out, I know they've been playing Corey Joseph a few minutes. So that's why I said with these guards, maybe I put the guards in a group and just play two out of no more than two. Bagley's kind of would be in a class of his own. Like, you just need to play him.
What's up, YouTube? Hope you're having a fantastic Sunday night. If you're listening or watching this show live on YouTube right now, just going to quickly circle back to that Boston-Cleveland game, just really quick. Multiple books have Cleveland minus 1.5. I even like it at minus 2.5. We are now in the second overtime of the Knicks-Celtics game on Sunday night.
Oh, my goodness.
Tatum's played 47 minutes. Brown's played 46 minutes. Al Horford's at 45 minutes. And Grant Williams is at 44 minutes. Marcus Smart has played 39 minutes. I would not be shocked if one or two or five Celtics sit in the game and they just punt it against Cleveland. Just saying, I think that it's very interesting. If you want to take some shots, if you're in a state with points bet, it has a 1.5. FanDuel and DraftKings, Caesars, BetMGM, they're at 2.5. So if you're hanging out with us live, I'm really leaning towards Cleveland. That line might come off the game. It wouldn't shock me if everyone plays. Not Horford. I don't think Horford plays. Like Horford,
no.
45 minutes. Horford's not playing tomorrow. But if Tatum and like Brown and these guys play, it wouldn't shock me. But they're also going to have, 47 minutes for Tatum and 46 minutes around. Like, they're not going to be at their best against one of the best defenses in the league. So Cleveland minus 2.5. Don't mind that. It's one of those things. You like jump on it right night before and take advantage of it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but I think that it has value. And I mean, that's always what we're looking for at the end of the day, some value. Atlanta at Miami is where we head next. We got a 227 total. Miami is a 3-point favorite on most books. Looking at the injury report for this game, Atlanta is good to go. Miami, Kevin Love is probable. Kyle Lowry is out. Yurt 7 is down in the G League playing, which is just kind of pay attention to that. He can get an in-day upgrade at any time. Talk to me about the Hawks here, Will.
Look, the Hawks are playing Miami. Miami is not the juggernaut defensive team that I think we're used to. And so I haven't really been afraid to play teams against them. Here's the deal, Stevie. DeJounte Murray is down to 7,900. Like, I feel like he's getting a bump that he probably shouldn't get. And I know his production is kind of all over the place. And look, he only had 23 fantasy points in 36 minutes the last time. But 7,900, I think it's too low. This is a guy who can go out and get 40-plus on any night. So I want to point that out. Something else, Stevie, that I think we're seeing that, we saw Clint Capella have a nice game against Miami. His price has come up. He's 6,100 now. We're still not seeing him get a bump in minutes. So I'll tape on my expectations there. Trae Young is 9,400, and he's just been okay this season. Like, we've seen some big 50-point games, a couple 6-point games, but all in all, he's typically hanging in the 40s. I don't hate the price. He's cheap enough. But that's about it for me. I'm not really thrilled about Miami. The Hawks. I'm not afraid of Miami, but I'm not thrilled about playing the Hawks either.
Yeah, 6-game slate. Potential low ownership, I think, is game theory wise, the only thing that we're potentially looking at here for Atlanta.
Murray's too cheap, I think, at 7,900.
Too cheap. For sure. Tough matchup. Butler in a fantastic spot. So I think obviously I have interest in Butler. We're going to talk about him on the other side of this game. So yeah. I like that. I have no idea. I think Capella, his role with this new coach, obviously a little bit better. So I like him and Murray. It's weird saying I don't like Trey Young, but at 9,400 in a tough matchup, I think I'd prefer Murray at the discount. And I know it's a tough matchup for Capella, but if you could stay out of foul trouble and think he could have a really solid game, especially with this new usage that we've seen from him recently. On the Miami side, I really like Jimmy Butler. This is just one of the best matchups in the league for wing-type players. He's someone that's capable of putting up 50-plus in this spot. So if we're not like going up top tier multiple times on the slate, I think that looking at guys on the lower end of the top tier is definitely playable. And I like the spot for Butler and Bam. They're both in really good spots. Tyler Hero's price is kind of where it should be. He could get hot and definitely have a good game here. But I mean, these two teams just played. It was 117-109. And it was what, yesterday? Saturday, right? So a little bit of sample size to look at, but one game sample size are the worst, but the best. I'm just kidding. Talk to me about the Heat.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Heat have some in reverse. They've got good prices to be facing the Atlanta Hawks. Like, you know, Jimmy Butler at 8,900, that's a great price for him facing the Hawks. Tyler Hero has been picking up his play. He's still, in my opinion, all over the place, but you know, we've seen a couple big games from him recently, 50-plus point games within the last five. I don't know what to make of Kevin Love with this team because he's playing, Stevie, but his minutes haven't really changed. He's not like he's playing 25, 30 minutes a night. You know, he's in the 20s, but I wish I could play him, but it just feels kind of blah. But yeah, I mean, Gabe Vincent's playing minutes because Kyle Lowry continues to sit out. But mainly, I think it's the Jimmy Bam and Hero show. And I think we just stick with those guys.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at as well. I think that's where I'm at. I don't know, like, if there's really anybody else that I get to and I feel comfortable with. I mean, tournament-wise, maybe Caleb Martin. He's someone that can play 25 to 30 minutes in a close game. Lowry already out. So I think maybe a guy like Caleb Martin is okay. And then as far as like Kevin Love, because you were talking about him, I think like 22 to 25 minutes until maybe the playoffs, and then we see him ramp up to like 28 minutes. I think he's going to be a key piece for them in the playoffs. Sneaky good pickup. When Kevin Love is healthy, he's a fantastic basketball player. So I think we see more Kevin Love in the playoffs, and they're just, I mean, I think they try to keep him healthy, right? We've seen them kind of back off Oladipo's minutes. I think Oladipo is someone that in the playoffs, they could use him a lot on the second unit with some usage if he can stay healthy. So I think time will tell with Kevin Love with the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto at Denver, we got a 227.5 total. The Nuggets, a 7 to 7.5 point favorite on most books. As far as the injury report for this one, Thomas Bryant is probable for Denver. That's really it. Toronto side, Otto Porter Jr. is out. Let's go Toronto first. What are your thoughts here on the Raptors?
I mean, should be a good game in general. I will say, Stevie, these Raptors prices, man, are really coming down. Like, Pascal Siakam's down to 9K. I think he was 9K the other night as well. Fred VanVleet, you know, his price has been stable, but I feel like he's the one, his price should be coming down, but he keeps cranking out big games. OG's down, Trent's down, Scotty Barnes is down to 6,800. And, you know, Poto just continues to seemingly crush. Now, I'm not expecting him to crush in this game against Jokic. He's 6,400, but he could. I think the main target here is probably Siakam at 9K. And I think that's about it for me. The price have come down, but I don't think they've come down enough. I was slightly intrigued by Scotty at 6,800, but the production just hasn't been there. And I don't want to risk it even on a six-game slate against Denver.
Yeah, my thing here is we kind of expect Poeltl and Jokic to kind of face off. So does that leave like Siakam and Barnes to have a good game? I think that's just like, you know, one perspective to kind of look at. I think we're going to be playing Jokic today. He's in a great spot. He's up in that like conversation of like elite plays on the slate. So we're going to be taking some shots on Jokic, and we are potentially taking some shots on like Jamal Murray as well. He's been playing really good here recently. I think my favorite run back might be like VanVleet, but I would sprinkle in some Siakam and maybe some Barnes. I think this is a tough spot for a guy like Poeltl. And OG just, I mean, he shoots enough where he'll have games where he shoots 15 plus times, and if he's making, he won't stop. So maybe you could look at him on a smaller slate. On the Denver side, I mean, like I said, Jamal Murray's been playing really good here recently. Over 45 fantasy points in three straight games. Just kind of cruising along here, doing it a lot. I mean, he's someone that has double-double upside. He's someone that has like 20-15 upside. So what are your thoughts here on Denver?
Yeah, man, I like the Murray call at 8K. He's somebody, Stevie, I've kind of been on anyway, just in general. Like, once his minutes kind of went back up to normal minutes, I don't know, a couple months ago, I just started playing him. He was in that 6,800 range, 7K, and we've just rode the wave all the way up. He's just continuing to crank out nice performances. But, Steve, I do have a nugget here that I think might be good for the people. And Bruce Brown is 3,900. He's playing mid-20s minutes, typically getting mid-20s fantasy points. I think that's beneficial for us on this particular slate, Stevie. So wanted to point that out. I don't think a lot of people are going to be on Bruce Brown today. I don't think the projections are going to come in great, but I'm willing to roll the dice at 3,900, a guy playing mid-20s minutes. I'll take it in this spot. At home, feels like a good, solid, cheap play to me that it's kind of going to be off the beaten path a little bit.
I like the Bruce Brown call. I think the other night he just didn't get a lot of run because the game got out of hand.
Yeah.
So, totally, it's us. It's probably not us. I'm just kidding. But we're moving the line, Will. We're moving the line. That line has moved for the Cleveland-Boston game. It's 3.5 almost everywhere now. So, we are, listen, this is why you listen live. This is why you subscribe to the podcast and, you know, come hang out with us. You know, we're active in chat. We're answering questions. We're having fun. What else are you doing on a Sunday night besides probably sleeping, which that's happening. I'm getting old. All right, New Orleans at Sacramento. We finish it out with a game that's somewhat interesting here. This has a 239 total. Kings a 6-point favorite, and I say somewhat interesting. This game is fantastic. On the Pelicans side, Alvarado is out. Little is out. Nance is out. Valanciunas is questionable. Zion remains out. Fox is questionable, and Holmes is questionable on the Kings side. Our difference between this game and the Toronto-Denver game, six-game slate, we got 3 7 o'clock games. We might not have some of this injury news before the 7 o'clock games lock. Might not happen before the Atlanta-Miami game, and it might happen very close to the Toronto-Denver game. So this game's fantastic. When we're looking at the slate overall, I think it's higher, 7 points higher than the next highest total game on the slate, implied team totals, or implied totals. So we'll go New Orleans first. Will, like, we could live in the 8K range today. Brandon Ingram is in a fantastic spot going up against Sacramento, one of the worst teams in the league against wings. He could absolutely crush in this game. CJ McCollum shooting the ball a little bit, I don't know if I'd say better, but he's shooting the ball a little bit more. I really think the wrist thing continues to be a thing with him. So definitely paying attention to that. Want to see if Valanciunas returns or not. If Valanciunas sits, Herb Jones has been playing really solid minutes at 4,300. We all want like Hernan Gomez to kind of be a thing, but they've been playing like Najee Marshall and Hayes and Jones.
They did that same foolishness last year with him and Jackson Hayes. Like, guys would be out and you're like, okay, he's playing tonight. And he plays 20 minutes, 18 minutes.
Hey, you're like, oh, Hernan Gomez is starting. Let's go. Let's play him. And nope.
Yeah, so bad.
But yeah, if Valanciunas sits, I think like the guy that I would be is Herb Jones. I think he benefits the most. His minutes have been the most consistent here recently. So that's who I think. But yeah, I like this spot a lot for Ingram. I think, like I said, I think this 8K range is really good.
Yeah, I'm with you big time on Ingram. I don't really think there's any reason to overlook him. Like, he's big time in play. What I do like about the Pelicans as well, you mentioned Herb Jones, but Trey Murphy's playing big minutes too. Like, this could be a good spot for him at 4,400. We could very well have access to both of those 4K guys, especially you talk about the fact that Valanciunas sits. We already know Josh Richardson isn't playing. Jose Alvarado isn't playing. Murphy and Herb Jones could be really, really nice plays on this slate in a big-time up-tempo matchup against a Kings team that wants to keep winning, Stevie, to stay in the top of the West. So I like those calls. Love Brandon Ingram. Think it's a good spot for both sides.
Sacramento side of this game is super interesting. I mean, Fox in or out's huge. I think Valanciunas, or not Valanciunas, Sabonis. If Valanciunas is out, I think Sabonis is in a really good spot here. I think you could have a monster game if Valanciunas sits. So I want to be paying attention to the Valanciunas news because of obviously the Pelican side, but I also want to be paying attention to it because of the King side of this game as well. If Fox sits, I don't mind looking at a guy like Kevin Huerter. He's going to get some extra shots. Barnes, I think, is okay to look at if we did get news that, like, Fox is going to sit. Outside of that, I mean, same situation, right? Like, Hernan Gomez on the other side. We want Donovan Mitchell to be – Devion Mitchell to be a thing and just –
No, it's the Malik Monk show if Fox is out, for what it's worth. Like,
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. I like Huerter the most, I think, of these guys. Yeah. If Fox sits, I think Huerter is someone that gets some extra shots up. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we want. Like, when Fox is missing, Huerter shoots more. So I like Sabonis regardless. I like him more if Fox sits, but I like him regardless. I think this is a really good spot for him if Valanciunas sits. If Valanciunas sits, I mean, if they try to put guys like Jackson Hayes or Hernan Gomez on Sabonis, he's just going to have a field day.
Yeah, and I will say this. Harrison Barnes seems to be on the upswing with his fantasy production, Stevie. And Keegan Murray is just – he's all over the place. But I still think he can play Keegan Murray in the spot at 4,600. Barnes, Murray, all these, like, weird five low 4K guys, mid 4K guys – I think you get exposure to them all. What I would do, I think if between Barnes and Murray, I don't think I'd play them together. So I think if I play those guys and I multi-enter and I make a group with Barnes, Murray, and I say one or the other, put my ownership percentages in there. And then with – I do think you can get away with Monk and Huerter, though. That's the thing. Like, I think you can get away with both of those if Fox sits, but that's the caveat. De'Aaron Fox has to sit. And if he sits – then I know for sure Huerter and Monk are going to get their action.
All right, we've had some fun today. Let's play the morning grind game, and we will get out of here. Starts off, Will, favorite play under 5,000 to go 7X. I mean, definitely going to be paying attention to some injury news here for this range today, but who do you like here the night before?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a guy that I talked about recently or in this same game, and I'm not going to play the injury card. I'm going to go with what I think is already going to happen. Give me Trey Murphy at 4,400. I like him in this spot. Playing the minutes, we already know the other guards aren't going to be in, so his minutes are stable. Give me Trey Murphy at 4,400.
I'm going to go Harrison Barnes. It doesn't happen very often. He is someone that's capable of 35-plus. He's going to play a bunch of minutes tonight, so might not get like the full like 7X out of him, but I think 6X on a six-game slate of 5K is super playable. So I want the 7X because I want to win the morning grind game, but I think at the end of the day, I think Harrison Barnes at 5K is just – he's in that price range where he's really solid. Malik Monk would be my answer if Fox sits, for what it's worth. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust at the top today? A lot of good options. Anybody standing out to you that you don't love?
I don't like this, but I think it's the right call because of the situation. Give me Tyrese Halliburton at 9,200, but I don't like it. But they're playing Philly. They don't want to win. I think it's the right call.
I'm going to stay in that same game and go James Harden. Embiid, I think, crushes in the spot. So, I mean, That hashtag analysis. That's what I got today. Favorite 6X play today. Who do you got?
This one was a tough one for me, Stevie, because I like the mid-range guy. But I think I'm going to go with how I think this situation is going to go. Give me Bagley at 5,500.
Took my play. I like Bagley a lot today. The other guy that I really like today is Jeremiah Grant.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Grant. 7,100. I think he's someone that's capable of 45 plus today. So like this spot, Detroit, really, really bad defensively. So ton of interest in Grant today. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who is it today for you, Will?
Well, I talked about this guy. I don't think he's getting the ownership. It is kind of a low ball play. Bruce Brown, ladies and gentlemen, 3,900.
Gosh, you had me nervous. I said, is he going to take my guy again?
Bruce Brown, I don't see him picking up ownership. If we knew what was going to happen in this Boston game, I'd have a couple extra plays. But I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to try to go with what we know.
Oh, I'm doing it. You might not speculate. I got you. You talked me onto this. I like Blake Griffin today. I think
3K, man. You can't pass it up.
Williams is already out. They said he's 5 to 7 days. Al Horford played more minutes tonight than he's played in his last
he
like
played
six
more
games
minutes
combined.
Tonight than in right. A couple games combined.
I'm just kidding. I know that's not the actual truth, so I just want you to know I'm actually kidding.
At least two games though, Stevie, for real. Seriously.
Al Horford played 46 minutes tonight. On Sunday night, he's not playing. So give me Blake Griffin at 3K as my Let's Get Weird GPP play of the day.
I love it.
Any pick'em plays that you're going to be looking at, or props, or anything that you're going to be looking at for today?
So what we do know is I don't see any scenario, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, Stevie, where Jamal Murray doesn't go for around 23, 24-ish points. Lines at 21.5 right now. We talked about Murray. I think it's a good spot for him at home. They're going to have to score points. Give me Murray over 21.5.
Yeah. I like it. We talked about we went live with our favorite night before bet. It's 3.5 almost everywhere now. When we were talking about it, points bet had it at 1.5, and then DK and FanDuel had it at 2.5. But it's 3.5 almost everywhere. So,
and that's the right call after two overtimes. I mean, you have to bump.
Those guys are going to be juiced even if they play. I mean, they're just going to be tired. They're just 49 game minutes. It's not like going out and running. you know, 49 minutes of playing like 5-on-5 at the gym. You know, this is like 49 game minutes of like an intense close game. The Knicks, what is that, 9 in a row for the Knicks? Listen, the East and the NBA are just so much better when the Knicks are winning games. I don't know if that's like a personal take, but I just, that's what I feel. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up for Monday. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. We'll be back tomorrow talking more hoops. Good luck, everyone. We will see you then.